Please take your Bibles and let us stand as we turn in the Word of God to Matthew chapter 5. We are in the Beatitudes, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. We are looking at the third Beatitude today. It's Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Hear now God's holy Word. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Amen. Please be seated. I don't know if you're aware of it, but it seems like Hollywood loves to pick on this verse. There are any number of TV shows and movies where this verse is quoted and people laugh about it, as though the meek will never inherit the earth, that the only people that will ever inherit the earth are the heroes and the strong men and the people who have the ability to wield whatever martial arts or weapons that particular program is talking about. Jesus faced that same type of thing in his day. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was on earth, he was not the type of Savior that the Jews were looking for in his day. Remember, they were a conquered people. Their land was occupied. There were Roman soldiers on practically every corner, armed to the teeth. Now, admittedly, they didn't have automatic weapons like soldiers have today, but still, you didn't want to go up against a legionnaire who's got a short sword and a spear. Those guys were fierce. And they just irritated the Jews in Jesus' day. They knew that they were a conquered people. They knew that the rulers of their land had been imposed upon them by Rome, and they just chafed under this. And so what they were looking for in Jesus' day was a great military leader who would bring triumph to the Jewish people, who would drive the Roman army out of their land and establish a Jewish kingdom in Jerusalem. That's what they wanted. So they were looking for somebody to come, if we can use an anachronism, come riding in on a white horse, wearing a white hat, guns blazing, and be the great leader of their people, bringing victory to them. They wanted a conqueror, and they got a conqueror, but not the type of conqueror they were looking for. They got an entirely different type of conqueror, a conqueror who, rather than appearing to be the great and mighty soldier that he truly is, you read the book of Revelation, you see that he is that indeed. But when he came, that was not his purpose. He came as a conqueror, but to conquer sin. And he did it by dying upon the cross. And he came as a meek person, a meek individual. So who are the meek? When Jesus tells us, blessed are the meek, who are the meek? What is meekness? Well, it's not a natural quality. It's not a natural quality. You don't normally find meek people in the sense that meekness is described in Scripture. It's not indifference. A meek person is not somebody who just doesn't care. We've got plenty of those today. Lots of folks that just don't care about others around them. That's not meekness. And it's not niceness. There's a mistake on the part of some who think that being meek means being nice all the time. And you certainly should be nice when you can be nice, but there are times when you cannot because of sin. And a meek person is not nice when it comes to sin. It's not being easygoing. It's not weakness, especially. Meekness is not weakness. Please understand that. Jesus was meek, but at the same time, he tells us that all authority in heaven and on earth had been given to him. And so, he was powerful and yet meek. The martyrs in church history, people who have died for Christ, were meek, but they were not weak individuals. It takes a great deal to face beheading for the cause of Christ. It doesn't take weakness, it takes genuine meekness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so meekness is not concerned with your outward manner so much. Instead, it's spiritual meekness. Spiritual meekness. It flows from these first two Beatitudes that we've already looked at. The first Beatitude, which talked to us, where Jesus talked to us about realizing our own weaknesses and inabilities before Almighty God. We are poor in spirit. We recognize that we are complete paupers when it comes to being able to meet our own spiritual needs. We must rely upon God through Christ for everything. And so we recognize our inability. The second Beatitude talks about mourning, those who mourn and we cry over our sin. And so this third Beatitude tells us that we are to act in a certain way toward others when they say things to you that you don't want to hear. That happens. I mean, who wants to... I mean, you know you're a sinner. You already know that you're a sinner. But it's knowing that is one thing, and then having somebody else point that out to you is an entirely different thing. It's hard. When somebody else points out your sin to you, it hurts and you chafe and you don't like that so much, and the Bible tells you you're to be meek. And so the meekness that is in view here is a spiritual meekness. It is an attitude of humility. It is an attitude of submission to God. Meekness is essentially a true view of yourself, expressing itself in your attitude and your conduct toward others. You understand who you are. You understand what you're like before God. It involves how you think about yourself, and it involves how you express that attitude in your relationship to other people. In other words, you are not, you should not be, overly impressed with a sense of your own self-importance. Christians ought not to be proud people when we think about it. What have you got to be proud about? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why are you boasting about it? Paul says. So let's remember that we are not people who go around being proud of ourselves and being convinced that we are so important the world cannot do without us. God can do without you or me. That's the thing we have to keep in mind at all times. It's not as though somehow or other, if I were not here, God could not pastor this church without me. Of course He can. Of course He can. And so we must never become so wrapped up in ourselves that we gain this wrong idea of self-importance, that I am so important that surely God has to treat me in a different way. That's not what Scripture talks about. So, what is a meek man? A meek man's not proud about himself or of himself. A meek man does not assert himself and demand his rights. We've got a society today where everybody demands his rights. We're not seeing meekness on the part of people who say, I don't like what you say, it offends me so much, I'm going to haul you into court and shut your mouth. That's not meekness on the part of anybody. A meek man doesn't make claims about his own privilege and status and position. And then here's kind of a hard part, at least I guess it is for me, maybe it is for you too. A meek man doesn't worry about what other people think or say about him. Ouch. But at the same time, he's also not full of self-pity and sorry for himself all the time. John Bunyan has one of the greatest comments about this that I've read from a human author that's not inspired. John Bunyan said, "He who is down need fear no fall." Okay, if you're already down, you don't have to worry about falling down. You're already down. And a meek man recognizes he's already down. The person who is meek is truly amazed that God and man can think of him as well as they do and treat him as well as they do. We ought to be more amazed about the fact that God loves us and that God treats us the way he does and that other people treat us the way they do than thinking, well, I deserve better treatment. A meek person is mild. He's quiet. He's patient. That's my problem. Yeah, I'm the one that they wrote that joke about. Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. He's long-suffering, ready to listen, and ready to be taught by God. In other words, a meek person is someone who's willing to leave everything in the hands of God. We've got two incredibly wonderful examples of meek people in Scripture. One in the Old Testament, one in the New. Moses and Jesus. Moses wrote about himself. Now remember, Moses is the author of Numbers. I always laugh when I read this. Moses is the author of the book of Numbers. And in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, he writes, "Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all the people who are on the face of the earth." If it weren't true, it would be awful, but it is true. But the Lord inspired Moses to write this comment about himself. And we know it's true. And in fact, in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, it says this about Moses. Here's an example of his meekness. This is from Hebrews chapter 11. We saw that not too long ago. "By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking for the reward." Now, we saw that not too long ago, but let's think about it again for just a second. Moses, in his meekness, is willing to commit himself to stand with the people of God in Christ. Notice that Hebrews talks about Moses' faith in Christ. And so he's willing to commit himself with the people of God who are being mistreated rather than with the rulers who were mistreating them. And he was raised as a ruler. He was raised in Pharaoh's household. He had a legitimate claim to be a ruler in Egypt and have his word just be law over all these slaves, and that's not where he chose to be. It says he would rather be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy, and here's the thing that we have to always remember, because this is such a clear description of it, the fleeting pleasures of sin. Sin is fleeting. When we're being tempted, we think it's just a wonderful, great thing, and we're all caught up in it. But it's like a child waiting for Christmas. As soon as it comes and it's over, there's this grand disappointment. And that's what sin's like. It comes and it's over, and it doesn't provide what you thought it would provide, and it is only a fleeting pleasure. There has to be some pleasure aspect to it, otherwise you wouldn't be tempted by it, but the pleasure is not a sustaining pleasure in any way, not like the pleasures of God's Word, not like the pleasures of eternity, not like the pleasures of faith in Christ. And so sin may bring a fleeting pleasure, but it's fleeting. It's gone. And so his attitude was he thought that the reproach of Christ was of greater reward, of greater value than all of the gold and silver, all of the jewels, all of the treasures of Egypt. And he could have had those at his fingertip as a ruler, because he looked forward to the reward that is ours in Jesus Christ. So Moses is a meek man. Meek man who stood up to Pharaoh, because God told him to say, "Let my people go." Didn't want to go. I mean, Moses is a lot like you and me in the sense that he's trying to find some way out. You know, when God tells him, "Go and say to Pharaoh, let my people go," Moses is saying, "Let somebody else do it. Lord, I can't speak. Well, I created your mouth. Are you telling me I can't make you speak? I really can't speak. Okay, well, then let your brother speak for you. And he goes. And he has to put up with a congregation of about 2.5 million people who, from moment to moment, rebel against God. Over and over and over again, they see the miracles that God does and they rebel against him. And Moses, here's part of his meekness. Moses, rather than, at one point he does say, Lord, why did you do this to me? Why did you give me this group of folks that rebel against you all the time? And so God says, well, I'll just wipe them out and make out of you a grand kingdom. And no, that's not what I'm getting at. That's what Moses is saying. And so on a couple of occasions where God says to Moses, stand back, Moses, I'm going to wipe everybody out, and we'll just make out of your family this people. Moses intercedes for the people. This is a meek man who stands and says, those sinners are sinners, but Lord, for the sake of your holy name, don't destroy them. Don't destroy them. So Moses is a meek man, meekest on the face of the earth. Jesus is a meek man. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, and the word itself literally is meek, and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So Jesus describes himself when he tells us to come to him and to follow after him. He describes himself as gentle or meek. And then Paul, as we saw recently in Philippians chapter 2, says, have this mind in yourself, among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. Now, the humility of Christ is seen in the fact that he is ruler of all. He is God over all. He comes to earth and he dies not for important people and not for wealthy people and not for kings and all of those in authority. He dies for God's chosen one. And Paul basically tells us that we're not the most important people on the face of the earth. Jesus chose to die for us. He took upon himself the form of a servant, so he comes not from heaven as king to be born in the palace of a king. He comes from heaven as king to be born in a very lowly condition, in a stable surrounded by animals rather than surrounded by men and women of the court. He is born just like you and I are, though his conception was entirely supernatural. And he is a human being like you and I are, even while being God also. But he humbles himself and he is obedient to his Father, and he goes to death, but not just any death. He goes to the most horrible form of dishonorable death that you can imagine. Because remember, the cross was for traitors and the worst kinds of criminals and people that Rome just hated. And he goes to that. And the Bible tells us, the Jews looked at it and they remembered, Scripture says, cursed is every man who is hanged on a tree. And so they looked at Jesus and thought he was cursed by God. And he was, by taking our curse upon himself. And so he's humble because he died for us. Meekness is also a fruit of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and that's a word that can be translated meekness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And so one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is meekness. And we're commanded by God to put this on. Colossians says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And all those things go together. And so a meek man is not somebody who is out there trumpeting his own worth and his own importance and his own pride. A meek man is one who is submissive to God and is willing to do what God has for him to do, no matter what that might be. And in the case of Moses, it was to put up with people for 40 years in the wilderness. And in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was to put up with us and to die for us on the cross. We're going to inherit the earth. What's that mean? What does it mean to inherit the earth? Well, inheritance is a promise to the one who fears God. The man who fears God is promised that his children will inherit the earth. In Psalm 25, who is the man who fears the Lord? Him he will instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. But the unrighteous don't. Okay, so the righteous, those who trust in Christ, those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we will inherit, but there is also a statement in Scripture about who will not inherit. And that's the unrighteous. In 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, Paul goes on and says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were cleansed. So he talks about how in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who were like this, who were unrighteous, can be brought to faith in Christ and righteousness as a result of that. But those who continue in unrighteousness will never inherit the kingdom of God. And if they tell you that they are going to, they're wrong. The Scripture says they're wrong. And this is one of the problems that we've got today. There are people today who are living in unrighteousness, who are proclaiming we're going to inherit because God's okay with us. And God says, I'm not okay with you. Psalm 37. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. And continuing in Psalm 37, for those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by Him shall be cut off. The meek shall inherit. Psalm 37:11 says, but the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. Wait for the Lord and keep His way, and He will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. All those are from Psalm 37. It's got lots to say about inheriting. Who will and who won't. But that promise, remember, this promise of inheritance comes only through the Lord Jesus Christ. As it says, for the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world, that's he would inherit the world, did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now, in the present, do we see ourselves inheriting the land? The meek person is satisfied with what God has given him because he knows that though we may not actually see ourselves inheriting it now, we will one day. Paul was satisfied with whatever God gave him. We've seen this recently. He was satisfied with plenty, and he was satisfied with loss. It didn't matter whether he was in poverty or whether he was rich. He says in Philippians 4, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low and how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And so, a meek person, knowing that he will inherit the earth, doesn't have to strive in this present life for such things right now because you know that God will provide those things for you. He will provide, first of all, what you need in this life. We're going to see that in the Sermon on the Mount as we get a little bit further on. Jesus is going to give us that very promise that God will provide every single thing that you and I need. Not every single thing we might want, but every single thing we need. And one day, we will receive the full inheritance in and through our Savior. So when we inherit the earth in the future, we do so through Christ. You are, please remember this, this is how you and I inherit. You and I are, as Scripture says, joint heirs with Christ. Okay, we're joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. The only reason that we can inherit anything is because Christ has inherited it all. Paul tells us that we're going to judge the world. And so those who are considered insignificant now will one day be those who judge the world. And Paul even says, you will judge angels. That's an amazing thing. You will judge angels. All things are part of your inheritance in and through our Savior Jesus Christ. And therefore, what that means for the present time right now as we think about that future inheritance is that you and I can be content with what God has given us right now in this life, because we know that greater blessings await in the age to come. We don't have to strive after that. We don't have to be anxious for that. We don't have to try to manipulate to get that. We know that that will be granted to us in and through our Savior because He has been given all things and we have been given all things in Him. So we can rest content knowing that we shall inherit the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the things that we have seen from this beatitude this morning. And Father, we thank You that You speak about meekness in this way. And we pray, Lord, that You would enable us to be meek as Moses was, or to be meek especially as our Savior is. Father, that we might exhibit that type of godly meekness in all things. Please forgive our sins. Please bless us to serve You through Christ every day. And bless us, Heavenly Father, as we await that time in which we shall indeed inherit the earth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.